Hello again and welcome to another edition of Dakota Digest. I'm Nate Weck for South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and thanks for joining me once again. Here's the top radio news of South Dakota Public Broadcasting for the week ending July 29th, 2016. The Democratic National Convention took place this week in Philadelphia. The convention was attended by South Dakota delegates, including State Representative Paula Hawks. Hawks joined Dakota Midday to discuss the convention and to talk about where the party stands in South Dakota and as a whole.
I am very proud to say that the South Dakota Bernie delegates were incredibly professional. They did their best to represent South Dakota, and they did so in an honorable and respectful way. And I think that they are pleased with the way that South Dakota represented everybody. We got a chance to, show the support for Bernie and show our support for Hillary. And in the end analysis, we will come together as a state and support our nominee for president.
To hear the full interview, visit sdpb.org. South Dakota voters get the chance to vote on minimum wage again in November. What is known as Referred Law 20 seeks to reiterate whether or not the minimum wage established by voters 2 years ago is the ultimate will of the people. In the 2015 session, legislators changed the law passed by voters in 2014. As SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports, lawmakers approved a lower minimum wage for workers under the age of 17.
Back in 2014, South Dakota passed an initiated measure to increase the state's minimum wage to $8.50 with cost of living adjustments. The following legislative session, State Senator David Norstrup brought forth a bill that tweaked the law passed by voters. Norstrup's bill established a $1 lower minimum wage for workers under the age of 17. He says it helps younger workers get their first job.
Some people will say this is about businesses. I would argue it's actually more for the young person getting that job than it is for the business owner or for the business. It's not about the business saving money. It's about giving that young person their first job and getting that opportunity.
Norstrup says Minnesota has a similar law on their books. But Corey Heidelberger, who is running for District 3's Senate seat against Norstrup's dad, Al, circulated petitions to bring the bill before the voting public. Heidelberger says David Norstrup's bill undermined the will of the voters.
That's why kids all over the state who are out working hard right now, last summer and this summer, their minimum wage is $8.55 an hour right now. They kept $8.50 last year. They got the nickel increase just like every other worker, and they're getting that thanks to our petition effort. Now we just have to power through to November and get the people of South Dakota to say, that's what we really meant. Let's set that minimum wage the same for everybody. Let's not cut it for the kids.
South Dakota voters decide the youth minimum wage issue in November.
South Dakota is not widely known for its architecture or infrastructure. Officials hope a new installation at the South Dakota Cultural Heritage Center in Pierre changes this. The Building South Dakota exhibit highlights the ordinary structures state residents see every day. SDPB's Kenzie Wagner has more.
Visitors who follow the hand-painted highway up the stairs at the Cultural Heritage Center in Pierre can find the new Building South Dakota exhibit. Renette Rumsa is with the State Historical Society. She says it highlights the past, present, and future of the state's urban structures. Rumsa says the previous exhibit that Building South Dakota replaces focused on what lies underneath South Dakota.
Now we want to take a look and see what we've put on the land. Buildings, roads, power lines, cell towers, all those kind of things from the early days of South Dakota all the way through to modern times.
Rumsa adds that hands-on activities are a major part of the showcase, where people can construct their own South Dakota infrastructure system, complete with gravel roads and farmlands. She says Building South Dakota is on display for at least the next 2 years.
The beginning of the Fort Pierre to Deadwood Trail is getting a new sign. A rededication ceremony, July 26th in Pierre, is recognizing the beginning of the 200-mile route that guided travelers to Deadwood in the late 1800s. SDPB's Aaron Myros reports.
After gold was discovered in the Black Hills, settlers and gold prospectors came to Fort Pierre by train or riverboat and then followed the Fort Pierre to Deadwood Trail out west. The trail is part of Deb Schuffelbein's family history. In 1975, her grandparents, Roy and Edith Norman, put up 52 signs marking the old Buffalo Trail used by wagon trains headed for Deadwood.
They rode horses over them, wagons went over them, and so they knew where these trails were at. It was just a matter of getting out to do the surveying to make sure that they were the actual trails. And he never put a sign up where he was not absolutely sure that sign should go.
Shufflebein says many of the signs marking the route have fallen down. But thanks to a grant, some of the signs are getting restored.
We were involved with them when they were doing the research of these signs in the early 1970s. And we helped go find the trails. We helped paint them. And we had hired Native Americans who actually helped us do them. So it's a big part of our lives. And I think now that as we reach our golden years and we know that we'd like to have these historical signs and the history carried forward.
Shufflebein says her grandparents also put up signs marking trails used by Lakota people, mail routes, and army routes across the state.
A task force in the Black Hills is pushing a new awareness campaign to help stop human sex trafficking at the Sturgis Rally. Some officials say raising awareness is important, but the victims of sex trafficking also need support as they recover. SDPB's Kenzie Wagner has more.
The West River Human Trafficking Task Force is distributing materials to area businesses to raise awareness about the sex trafficking that happens at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. Tess Franzen is with the task force. She hopes the information will help all who are affected by human trafficking.
If people in the community are aware of the signs and red flags of what human trafficking looks like, then it's harder for traffickers to conduct business and it's harder for them to operate. And I can also tell you that if we can get out information that victims can see that can help them find an avenue to freedom, that we're much more likely to be in a position to help them.
But experts say that raising awareness isn't enough to end sex trafficking in the Dakotas. Wendy Lazenko is a former trafficking victim and founder of For Her, a human trafficking advocacy group. Lazenko says providing assistance to victims after they escape sex trafficking is crucial.
So I think raising awareness is great, but it also needs to be coupled with providing victim services. If we're teaching people how to recognize victims and then there's nowhere for these victims to go, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Lazenko adds that victim assistance requires specialized care and that gaining funding is especially difficult. During the rally, trafficking victims can receive direct support through the Sturgis Crisis Intervention Shelter Service and For Her.
USDA funding is helping upgrade a water treatment plant near Eagle Butte. The move ensures about 14,000 people on and around the Cheyenne River Reservation have a more reliable water source. SDPB's Ellie Knofchinski reports.
The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe draws water out of the Cheyenne and Missouri rivers, but the old treatment plant and series of pipes to distribute water was prone to break down, leaving thousands with no water, sometimes for several days at a time. Tim Potts is with the USDA's rural development.
Actually, economic development has been stunned because they could not actually build houses or develop any further in Eagle Butte, and this water system that we hope to have water to Eagle Butte in 2017 is going to be a huge benefit for the area.
Others agree. Lee Fisher is the executive director of the Tri-County Water System. He says the new facility quadruples the plant's capacity and efficiency. He also says weather conditions should not affect new treatment operations.
When the Cheyenne runs, we have a tough time treating that water out of that lake, so we have to slow it down. You know, if we get any heavy rains or even a nice windstorm will stir the water up so bad that we have to slow our treatment process down, you know, from where we're at right now. But we will be out of that hopefully soon.
Fisher adds that the reservation has used a temporary line to the new intake structure 14 miles away, but he says even that water was higher quality than current conditions. He hopes in the coming year to see benefits for livestock, families, and overall development.
The number of unexpected infant deaths in part of South Dakota increased last year. As SDPB's Aaron Myros reports, a committee that examines infant and child deaths says in 2015, 7 infants died unexpectedly during sleep, compared to 5 the 2 previous years.
The Regional Infant and Child Mortality Review Committee looks at the deaths of children and infants in 10 counties in eastern South Dakota. In 2015, 80 children died in the region. The committee reviewed 24 of those deaths. Ann Wilson is a professor of pediatrics at USD.
As you recall, 2 years ago, the story was adolescent suicide. Fortunately, that was a blip on the screen, and that number has come down in the last 2 years. This year, the story has been that spike in unexpected infant deaths. We always have paid attention to that, but this year, unlike previous years, we saw a spike. It was higher than it's been in a number of years. For that reason, we're capturing as the theme for education, once again, the notion of safe sleep.
Wilson says in each of the cases, there were risk factors in the infant sleeping environment. Jim Senderes is chief of the Sioux Falls Fire Rescue. He says new parents need to constantly be reminded about how to safely put a baby in a crib.
One of the key things people really need to realize with children is that, and what we're advocating strongly as safe sleep for babies, meaning the baby is put to sleep on their back, a firm, horizontal, flat surface for the baby, and no materials in the sleeping space. So bumpers, afghans, padding, all those should be avoided with infants. There's a number of reasons for that, but this is the best way and the safest way to have a child put to sleep.
Senderes says if parents don't have a crib, an empty drawer set on the floor is much safer than laying a baby on a bed or sofa.
A South Dakota fugitive is now on America's top 15 most wanted list. The U.S. Marshals added the alleged child sexual predator to the list. Federal authorities are working with Pennington County law enforcement on the case. SDPB's Ali Konofchinsky has more.
48-year-old David Bonas is wanted by the Pennington County Sheriff and State's Attorney's Offices for multiple counts of pedophilia and rape. The U.S. Marshals offer a $25,000 reward for information leading directly to his arrest. Todd Batest is with the Pennington County Sheriff's Office. He says state and federal officials on the Black Hills Fugitive Task Force have been searching for Bonas since 2009.
The task force is able to use the assets that the marshals can bring and stuff like that. So, just increases the chances of us bringing these folks to justice, and really that's what we're seeking. That's our job, to bring people to justice.
But Test says putting dangerous fugitives on the most wanted list increases opportunities to find them and gives civilians more incentive to help law enforcement. He expects to find Bonas soon with the FBI's help.
We don't ever want to forget that there's a victim attached to these. There's a victim that has alleged that, some bad things that occurred, and that's, we're kind of their voice.
Batest urges those with any information about the whereabouts of Bonas to contact authorities with the U.S. Marshals immediately.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Dakota Digest. If you'd like to view or hear more radio stories of South Dakota Public Broadcasting, just visit us online at sdpb.org. Also, be sure to connect with us on social media by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook and by following our Twitter accounts. Our handles are at SODACPB, at SDPB News, at SDPB Sports, and at SDPB. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I am Nate Weck. Have a great weekend, everyone.